going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. An African-American studies course that's been banned in Florida is being revised. The College Board says they'll release the new advanced placement course on February 1st. The original course was blocked by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who claimed it was contrary to Florida's Anti-Woke Act. And as we reported earlier, civil rights attorney Ben Crump and members of the Florida legislature's Black Caucus announced today a lawsuit against the state's decision to reject the Advanced Placement African American Studies course. What's going on here? What's behind the pushback on Black cultural and educational issues in Florida? Well, joining me to talk about this are Dr. Gianni Clarkson, educator and Ford's Theater Board of Trustee member, Pastor Michelle Thomas, president of the Loudoun County, Virginia NAACP, and founder of the Loudoun Freedom Center, and Keisha King, host of the Keisha King Show and founder of the Mass Exodus Movement. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Thank you one and all for joining the conversation. Dr. Clarkson, let me first start with you. Even before we get into the issue, let us kind of lay the groundwork about the definition of the term woke. We've heard so much about it recently, but this actually goes far back beyond pop culture.
That's correct. So welcome to 1938. There's a song by a songwriter by the name of Lead Bell, who wrote a song called The Scottsboro Boys, which talked about and what happened there in Alabama, where a group of boys were wrongly accused of the rape of a white woman. And that's the first time that the term woke is actually used, dates back inside of our Americana language, right? So then we go to 2014, where this terminology shows back up with everything that's happening inside of Ferguson. And of course, now this term is being used as a way to describe an awakening of how do we make sure that we're bringing attention to social causes that are happening to brown and black people, and also people that are part of the LGBTQ community as well.
Pastor Thomas, from your perspective, what's your take on what's going on in Florida with the Anti-Woke Act, which pushes back on a lot of things having to do with black education, black culture, and in particular now the Advanced Placement African Americans Studies question or issue in the state?
Right. When we see laws and policies that are resistant to change and equity, we have to start to examine the root. This is the fruit, right? So the fruit is abolishing this AP class that's coming out on College Board. But the root is the denial of the existence of systemic racism. And that is what is at the heart of all of this anti-woke movement, that there is a concerted effort from the GOP to deny that systemic racism exists. And so there's an effort underfoot with radicalizing young people, radicalizing young minds. And what is the number one way that you can get to generations of kids? And that is to attack at the school level. You always want to look for the money. One of the things that I think is important is to understand how the College Board gets paid. The College Board is all about the money, right? And so Florida pays right now for all of the AP exams. If Florida pulls out of paying for those kids' exams, then College Board would lose a ton of money. This is not the first time that the College Board has flipped when they've made changes in curriculum that really is more inclusive in cultural competence. They've done that about, I think, about 6 to 8 years ago. when they were doing AP U.S. history. And they flipped. Once they started getting some complaints, there's some white resistance. They scaled back on the black history that was included in AP World U.S. history. And now the same thing is happening. They are flipping on this education curriculum for the AP class of African American Studies, and they're going to pare it down. They're going to dumb it down and strip away all of the real black history, and that's unfortunate.
Keisha, what is your opposition to the AP African American Studies program? You support the Anti-Woke Act.
And first of all, this idea that the governor wants to remove black history, African American history from schools, from AP courses, or any type of courses is just absolutely false. Not only is teaching black history permitted, it is required by law. It is required by law, which is in the Stop Woke Act. That is a requirement that you teach Black American history. So this whole narrative that, you know, the governor wants to remove it from schools, it's just false. It's just not true. And the problems that are in this new curriculum is that it contains critical race theory and it contains gender queer theory. And there's 6 points. Now this curriculum is hundreds of different points. There are 6 points that we're saying, listen, this is going beyond African American history. Now you're going into the political side, which is up for debate. We're supposed to be teaching children about facts and historical facts. We're going to stick to historical facts. When you start going into the political side and opinions and things like that, yes, it is an AP course, but it is being taught to high school kids. And since, you know, everybody said that critical race theory wasn't being taught in schools, and everybody said that this was only a college course, remember? So if it's only that, then why would it be okay for it to be in this high school AP course? So it's these 6 points that the governor and the Florida Board of Education have a problem with. Those who are submitting the book, the curriculum, excuse me, they are reviewing it. They are, as far as I understand, they're taking them out and then they're going to resubmit it. So it's not like this curriculum cannot be heard by kids and they can't learn. It's going to be resubmitted. So that's what we're dealing with.
So you're right. African American studies as a basic course is allowed in Florida. The difference is that the AP African American course is the only contested course in, you know, for the social studies in the state of Florida, because European history is not contested. You have American history, world history, U.S. government, and other political subjects which are not contested. Hold on, I'll let you talk. All of them are AP courses. But this particular course, and the governor is on record saying that he was against political indoctrination, but as a product of public school education in this country, one could argue that political indoctrination has been what has been part of American history for decades and decades and decades. Gianni, you have a comment about that.
So there are 4 major units that are inside of the AP mm-hmm. African American course that's in conversation. There's the origins of African diaspora, which of course makes sense because often people believe that the story of the African American experience solely begins and ends in slavery, right? Then you have the freedom of enslavement and resistance, which is Unit 2. Unit 3 is known as the practice of freedom, and 4 is movements and debates. There is nothing that's inside of those 4 things that is controversial. What it mm-hmm. sounds like, once again, is a concern of, why is African-American history always up for racism? And that, to me, is what the concern is for me, being someone who is a social studies teacher who has often had to fight books to find correct soundtracks of what the black experience is in America. I don't think that's tied to an agenda, but when people say, well, I want my child to get a complete education, how are you having a complete education when you remove those that are helping to be a part of the building blocks of what makes this country great?
Mm-hmm. Pastor Thomas, your thoughts about this?
I absolutely agree. It's unfortunate that we're at this place, and if people do not wake up, when you're talking about woke, we need to wake up and see how our children's education is being politicized. Nothing about what the governor DeSantis is doing has anything to do with educating our children. Children are not at the center of this. People take AP classes because they feel that as if they are ready for advanced content. And to not give that expression to the African-American experience, and where some of these concepts and things that happen to black people, it's hurtful. And so if those kids are ready for that, if they are ready to really understand and they are choosing to take a class to understand the fullness of the black experience, they should be open to do so. And it's unfortunate that Florida, with all of its black history, would block people, white and black, for understanding black history. That's just unfortunate.
202-319. Hold on 1 second, please. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the pushback from the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, against the Advanced Placement African-American Studies course and the Anti-Woke Act. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Keisha, I do want to ask you about something that the governor was quoted as saying about the Anti-Woke Act last year when he was announcing the effort. He says, quote, "In Florida, we are taking a stand against state-sanctioned racism that is critical race theory. We won't allow Florida tax dollars to be spent teaching kids to hate our country or hate each other." Do you think that's accurate, considering the very, very difficult, realistic challenges that that are involved in the building of this country, and that it, as we all know, it didn't start with 1776.
Well, I mean, America was not an official country until 1776. I mean, that's what the entire American Revolution was about. America was trying to get themselves free from Britain, but.
Certainly, you're not suggesting that all of a sudden everybody who was here in 1776 were not here in 1775.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that it wasn't an official country, is what I'm saying. It wasn't, we didn't have, quote, America. You know, it wasn't established. It wasn't established. Anyway, the point is, We absolutely, you don't have to teach critical race theory to teach black American history, to teach the flat-footed, 10 toes down truth that America had slaves, that America was brutal to, the slaveholders were brutal to African slaves, that Jim Crow, redlining, all of the evils that happened, and all of those things. You can totally teach without going near critical race theory. The critical race theory is this idea that America is intrinsically racist and it cannot be removed. It is not aberrant. It is normal. And I would, if you believe that, then I would beg to question every single black person who has made it in this country. So if you believe that America is intrinsically, whites are still the majority in America. So if they have all of this control and they are just uncontrollably racist to the core, and there is nothing that we can do about it, and black people are just perpetually, you know, in this locked out group, then how in the world had any black person been able to accomplish the amazing things that we have been able to accomplish despite the history? I reject that. I reject that my skin color, my melanin level, somehow prevents me from doing anything that I want to do in this country. And I will remind your listeners that black Americans are the most successful black people in the entire world. That is an incredible accomplishment, despite our history. And instead of focusing
Instead of focusing on that,
can we please tell these children of the victories? Let children know of what they can accomplish and give them a roadmap of prosperity and victory and not always the downside.
I am going to allow our guests to respond to that also. We have folks on the line at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the Anti-Woke Act and the pushback on the advanced placement African-American studies course in the state of Florida. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM, Channel 141, in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. What's behind the pushback on black cultural and educational issues in the state of Florida? We're talking about it tonight with Dr. Gianni Clarkson, educator and Ford's Theater Board of Trustee member, Pastor Michelle Thomas, president of the Loudoun County, Virginia NAACP, and founder of the Loudoun Freedom Center, and Keisha King, host of The Keisha King Show and founder of the Mass Exodus Movement. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ken, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Ken. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Hey. I just wanted to chime in real quick.
Go ahead.
You know, this is the apex of white cultural aggression towards black people in this country. You know, aggression is defined as something that's unprovoked. And it's a continuation. One of my nephews goes to FAMU, and he just learned, and some of his classmates, of course, that lived and grew up in Florida, were not aware of what happened to July Perry and the Ocoee massacre, even though they grew up in Florida. So it's not that, you know, and this is also a wealth argument, because black people as a whole that have contributed to building this nation, which was black people were brought to be a permanent underclass, wealth. We own less than half of 0.5% of this nation's wealth. And so it's not just about, you know, it's a continued depriving of us. Today they're sending tanks to the Ukraine, but go get a fresh glass of water in Jackson, Mississippi. These are a number of acts that are continued against people of color.
Okay.
And it's DeSantis is doing what white cultural aggression has always done, which is to attack people of color.
Ken, thank you so much. Let's go to Deshaun calling from D.C. Deshaun, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
No problem. Thank you for having me. I would just like to say that I think the block is really more so out of fear. You know, they know that if the truth gets out about, you know, the history and what they really did to oppress us and keep us back, I'll say more than 400 years, that even some of their own people will start to turn on, you know, those who seemingly have our backs, right? Like, they don't want their disgusting truth to come out, and we now have an upper hand of knowledge. And they wanted to keep us. They wanted to keep us quiet in slavery. We learned how to read. They wanted to keep us out of schools. We ended up getting into the schools, and now we're, you know, again, some of the most educated people in the world here in America. But I mean, we have to trace our roots back to Africa. We were smart there. We were building things there. We were wealthy there. They don't want us to know that we came from actually knowledge and riches and. We were glory, and they are trying to suppress that because they don't want that out. Because then that red state of Florida would start to take a turn, and it would slowly become a battleground. Then it would become blue. DeSantis is scared of his white culture getting out the nasty truth in Florida and the black truth spreading and populating that state.
Thank you so much, Deshaun. Pastor Thomas, you have had a front row seat to some of the similar political pushback that has been seen from Governor Glenn Youngkin when he was candidate Glenn Youngkin in Virginia. Can you, you know, first of all, kind of talk to us a little about the kind of the transformation of this same kind of issue, even in the state of Virginia, where there have been questions about, you know, so-called CRT, and you know, and certainly one can argue that a CRT by any other name is still Black history / American history.
Right. In Virginia, we had a front row seat to what the potentiality of weaponizing CRT could be. It literally landed politically unknown person into the governor's seat. It catapulted with lies and disinformation and weaponizing white fear, right? And so this whole thought that CRT was being taught in schools and all of a sudden it's at every school board meeting, all of a sudden parents are spreading this vicious rumor that CRT is being taught. There's even a tip line. Once the governor gets into office, he enacts the tip line for people to call in and tell where the CRT is. And there was not one report of CRT at all. So they've had to back down from that lie. They've had to kind of put it to the side. And now the new weaponization is with this AP course. And it is also the SOLs, right? So the standards of learning, being able to craft a more patriotic, overly patriotic, to strip out information of Black history, to put more figures in that literally have no context. There's a new proposal on Virginia SOLs where they have over 185 people sort of added to the curriculum with the Black people not even having context. They stripped away Dr. King's Day. They put back in things about Columbus Day. They referred to indigenous people as the first immigrants to America. There's an effort afoot to really radicalize young children. I'm going to continue to say that because that is what this distorting of history and de-emphasizing Black history and over-emphasizing nationalism and white supremacy that's steeped in U.S. history. And unfortunately, we are left, children are left hurting. Children are left malinformed, and teachers are left afraid because they don't want to say the wrong things because there's a tip line or there's some way that they could possibly lose their jobs or pension. And it's unfortunate. It's a political springboard, and they are using it masterfully, but we have the power. That's what people should never forget. We have the power. We have the power to stand up against the College Board, who wants to taint our history. We have the power to stand up against the Board of Education in every state, and the parents have the last say. We get to decide what goes in that curriculum and what our children will learn.
Dr. Clarkson, here's what I think one of the issues that we've heard time and time again as it relates to the teaching of Black history. And I think to Keisha King's point, yes, we can talk about, you know, the achievements of, you know, of African Americans. There's no doubt that those things certainly need to be discussed. But I think the other issue is that when we talk about the domestic terrorist attack on Black Wall Street, mm-hmm, in Oklahoma, when we talk about the destruction of Rosewood in Florida, right, when we talk about the, you know, the realities of slavery in this country, white people don't often want to hear that because they find that it is offensive. And suffice it to say that the myths and the legends of patriotism and not hearing about black achievements, because see, everybody didn't have a Black History Month in public schools, you know, depending on when you live, where you lived and where you went to public school. You know, February was just Valentine's Day and Lincoln's birthday.
President's Day.
And so, what do you think, what does that portend when you have some people who don't want to hear the realities of black history and what that may do moving forward?
So to love this country is to love it in fullness and in truth. And there's a truth that says that there were times that things were done to people of color that were absolutely unjust. We think about how beautiful Central Park is, but we don't talk about the fact that there was a whole black town that was drowned underneath there.
In New York City.
Along with tons of other drowned out towns of popular and successful towns that were washed out. That is part of our culture. That is part of our history. And I say this to my students all the time, that we don't have time for you to feel comfortable about a truth for a truth to start being a truth. You know, it's kind of like, well, I'm not comfortable with it yet, so it can't be true. So here's the thing, right? Santa said that what you see now is the rise of this woke ideology in an attempt to really delegitimize our history and to delegitimize our institutions. What you're saying is that I don't want you to talk about these things, because when you talk about these things, you make our school systems less legit. And that's disingenuous to even have a conversation like that. When you actually do have conversations like this, what you're actually doing is empowering a class of people to say that there are things that happen, it was wrong, and because these wrong things happened, there was a culture that was still able to strive through these things. Stop where's Waldoing our history. It's rude. It's offensive to sit there and say, well, there's black history in there. Well, where is it? Just keep looking. It's next to the dog that's next to the fire hydrant, to the invisible one. Stop doing that. It's offensive. And when we do that, we can't wonder why there are children that have self-hate, because they don't see themselves inside of the culture of America, because you've been told that you are an afterthought when it was really your idea why a lot of things exist.
Mm-hmm. Keisha, your thoughts about what Dr. Clarkson just shared.
Well, I think it's a disservice to teach children only one side. Again, there are so many accomplishments that black Americans have contributed to this nation. My great-great-grandfather was born a slave, bought his freedom, taught himself how to read, acquired almost 400 acres of land that my family still lives on today. So yes, I am going to cake hard for America, because my family's and my ancestors' blood, sweat and tears is in this land. And I don't apologize for their struggle. I stand on the shoulders of their struggle and get to participate in the success because of them. We are able to even have to do what we're doing today. I guarantee you none of us are struggling, and we should be telling that story to children. We so end on the struggle. But Frederick Douglass said, without struggle, there is no progress. We don't talk about the progress. We have to be stuck in the struggle, because let me tell you, the struggle pays very well. As long as we're talking about the struggle, there's going to be somebody that's got some white guilt to come and write you a check because, oh, poor you little Negro, you can't succeed. Again, we are the most successful black people in the entire world. And I'm not really concerned about what makes white people uncomfortable or what.
But see, okay, let me stop you there, because that's the point. You are not concerned, but apparently the likes of a Ron DeSantis and a Glenn Youngkin and the people who support them are concerned, and let me make this point. They are concerned, and because they sit in the seat of political power, that I think goes to the heart of this issue. And to this point, when you look on the National Mall here in Washington, D.C., at the Smithsonian Museum of African American History and Culture, I will tell you that my first visit there, 90% of all of the great things and the difficult and terrible things, I knew because, why did I know? Because my parents told me so, because my parents are black. But you had so many other people who are not of color, and you hear this time and time again walking through that museum, who say, I did not know. And that...
Okay, but we have a responsibility to not only revel in...
But I'm not saying... And hold on.
But this is what...
You're suggesting that we haven't been talking about that, because that is what Black History Month has always been about: Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, Lincoln freed the slaves, and then on the 28th, it's all over. Am I wrong about that, Pastor Thomas?
You are not wrong. You're absolutely right. And what we're fighting for, it's really ironic that we're even having this discussion about African-American history and where it goes. Listen, African-American history, black history, is American history. All of these AP courses and also African-American studies that is being taught in class, you need to understand that these are not, these are only elective courses, right? They do not get full credit. With the standard courses, you cannot choose African American studies versus U.S. history. If it was fair and equal and African American history was accurately portrayed in U.S. history, in world history, there would be no need for a spinoff class.
Pastor,
it is only because, sir?
I was going to say, Pastor, if you don't mind, if your history is important and my history is an elective like Jim, tell me what's important then.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let me go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Emmanuel. Emmanuel calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Emmanuel, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say, the one lady that was talking about this critical theory of teaching, I agree with her 100%. First off, I'd just like to say, as black people, when we join either political group, Democrat or Republican, you're pretty much saying you're joining a gang. These are two slave masters who could care less about us. I see so many black folks, they don't talk about policy. I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. You mess up right then, they could care less about you. Now, if you were talking about what policies you like, and as far as going...
No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking we're talking about education. We're not talking about...
I'm talking about the educational part.
Okay, go ahead.
When you talk about DeSantis, he's a hero. The LGBTQ community has hijacked the black movement. And that's what he's trying to get out of this educational part. They're trying to slide that in there. Yeah, we do need to know about black history, but we can't even get the true black history. We pub up Martin Luther King. We pub up Barack Obama. Tell the truth about Barack Obama, who brought back slavery in Libya, little black girls being sold on the market.
Okay, I need to stop you right there, because that is wholly inaccurate. And I think you had me when you said, let's talk about the truth about black history, because there are so many truths, wonderful and difficult truths. But then when you... I can't. Jasmine, calling from Bowie. What's on your mind?
So I just feel like it's very frustrating that people are trying to erase and diminish black history. And the fact that he's not going to want to have it as an AP course is ridiculous, because black history is a part of history. I don't think it's fair to just teach one part. And I heard someone earlier mention that they are talking about the progress and stuff like that, but you need a starting point. I think black people need to know where they started, the progress, and what they can become. And I feel like it's frustrating not knowing where I came from, or I'm not going to be taught it because someone else doesn't agree with it. Like, that's not fair to me and my history. They're worried about everyone else's but black history.
Jasmine, thank you so very much. I appreciate it. We talk about achievements, and last week when Maryland's governor Wes Moore was inaugurated, the county executive of Anne Arundel County, County Executive Stewart, said that he and this was such an amazing thing. This is a white guy, and he talked about where his family came from. He said that my family owned slaves on the very land where Westmore was being inaugurated. And then he went on to talk about the achievement. Yes, there needs to be balance. The problem is, Pastor Thomas, that there has not been. And now there is so much more information coming from, you know, the hallowed halls of great educational institutions like Howard University. And I could spend another 2 hours talking about all the other institutions from the Smithsonian and everywhere else. The problem is that if the information that we are discovering about African-American history hurts your feelings and you cover your ears, then those who do not remember the past are doomed to repeat it. Pastor Thomas.
That is probably one of the most troublesome points of all of this argument. And it is because when we delegitimize our history, and when we devalue our history, we strip out any opportunity to learn from it and to become better citizens, right? It's amazing that there's so much angst about how people are feeling, but just think about it. How do you think German people, German children, or children of German descent feel when they're teaching about the Holocaust? How do you think Black people have felt for years when they're teaching about slavery of the institution, but referring to a great-great-grandparent as a slave? Listen, Black people have never been slaves. We are not. It's impossible to be a slave. We have been human trafficked across the diaspora, forced into an institution called slavery, but yet our personhood is attacked every single day, and we're carrying this life forward, calling ourselves slaves, instead of dealing with the political and the policy and the legal efforts that caused us to be in bondage, which is slavery, the institution. We got people feeling bad because now they've attached slavery to our personhood. And we will never evolve from that. Black people will never feel, little kids can never feel good about Black history as long as you keep making them feel like slaves. And that comes with education. Yeah. It just comes with education. If every teacher will learn the difference between slaves and slavery, we could start right there with healing the nation. Mm.
Teresa, calling from Reston, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening.
Hi.
I love this show. I want to say to Keisha, Miss Keisha, the thing is, you say we're the most successful people. We do not have wealth. And when you have wealth that has been stolen for decades, for centuries from us, when we have wealth, we have influence. We don't have land. We don't have, we do not have what we should have, what we're due to have. And so when you say, yeah, we're successful to a degree, but everything, and they don't want you to know about redlining. So they don't want you to know about slavery, but they don't want you to know about the current redlining. They don't want you to know that if you're African American and you list your home, and let's just say you have a $500,000 home, that you have to de-ethnize your home so that you can get the value of your home. They don't want you to know any of that. So when you say, yes, we're successful to a degree, that's all I want to say. And I love your show. Thank you, Harold.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I think, Keisha, she does make an interesting point, which is one of the other issues you talk about. Institutional racism, systemic racism, and she makes a great point about home appraisals. That's not something that just started, you know, after the Fair Housing Act in 1968. We have, you know, Black people who are still getting their homes under appraised because the appraiser sees that black people live there. There was a settlement earlier this month in Los Angeles for because of a bank that was redlining. That was just this month. And so I think that there's a fallacy in your argument when you say we can talk about our successes. Yes, I think we should. But today's news is yesterday's history, and yesterday's history as it relates to black people in this country and people of color more specifically still has its challenges. We had Westmore inaugurated last week, but we still have redlining and unfair appraisals of homes in that same month. That, I think, is the problem that people are having with this anti-woke act. Your thoughts about what I just said, Keisha?
My thoughts are there are 330 or so million people in America. There are 40 some odd million black people in America. We take a story or a few stories and make it seem like that is the entire experience.
But are you suggesting that what I'm saying is not a legitimate concern? Because we're not talking. We're not talking about just a few people. We're talking about a multi-million-dollar settlement out of California that discriminated against black people regarding redlining.
I'm saying that today. I'm not saying that there aren't people that are racist. Of course, there will always be racist people. Always. It's a sin. It's always going to exist. What I'm saying today is that we have the most, we live in the country that where we have the most ability to do anything we want to do and to be whatever we want to be. What I'm saying is that we need to look at the successful people who have been able to find a way to make it and follow what they are doing. I'm not saying that there aren't going to be instances of racism. Of course, there's going to be instances of racism. But by and large, that is not, racism is not our primary problems as black people. We have much bigger problems today. I am talking today that we need to pay attention to. Racism is hardly, black people are very influential today. Extremely. If we say something is cool, the whole nation says it's cool. If we don't like something, the whole nation doesn't like it. If we let you go and say something about a black person, we are a protected class in this country. You ain't gonna get that in Germany. You're not gonna get that anywhere else in the world. Nobody cares about you being black. Only in America does being black actually mean something.
Yeah, so that I disagree with that. The protected class thing is wholly
okay,
inaccurate.
Well,
but please go right
and be like, I'm black, and see if they care.
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Clarkson.
So, there are some things that are true, but let's be accurate about how this race is starting. The African American experience has us always close to 50 steps behind. And how those steps, of course, close. Well, those steps are being closed due to grandmother's tears, a lot of prayers, a lot of hopes, a lot of mortgaging a future to make sure that this gap gets closed. So, yeah, there are success stories that are inside of the African-American experience, but it's always with the understanding of starting so far behind and starting so far back. Generational wealth does not really exist in many African-American households. Why? Because let's say, for example, here in D.C., I teach. I am still teaching first-generation eighth-grade graduates. Let's take our time with that. Mm. That means that there's been a culture of people that have passed through our house, and you're the first person to complete middle school in 2023 or 2022 at this time. There are some people that will be first-time college graduates that I've had the chance to work with. That talks about how far behind the African-American experience is. So, yes, when we do celebrate these achievements, we also need to talk about how we got over. Yeah, the crystal staircase does not exist inside the African-American experience, but continuously to push forward and not acknowledge that gap exists is disingenuous to those that help close those gaps. Mm-hmm. Grandmother's tears healed a lot of us, and I think it's time we need to really talk about that.
Pastor Thomas, I'll let you have the last word. Pastor Thomas.
I'm sorry about that.
You have the last word. Go right ahead, please.
Thank you. Now is not the time to be quiet. Now is not the time to be disillusioned. Now is the time for every parent to really hone in on what your child is learning in school, to really be honed in and giving yourself a voice and giving your child a voice. This is a fight that we can no longer delay. This is a fight that we can't kick down the road. It is incumbent on each and every responsible parent, responsible people in the community to step up and say African-American history is American history, and we will accept nothing less.
And let's be really, really clear about this issue regarding Germany. It is against the law for anyone to have any expressions of Nazism in Germany. You will not see any statues of Adolf Hitler or any of the people who followed him. It is against the law in the country of Germany, unlike here in the United States, where you had to have protests, woke protests, if I may, about removing statues of Robert E. Lee and other members of the Civil War movement who supported the enslavement of black people in this country and who succeeded from the Union. So let's be really, really clear about that. As I said, those who do not remember history are condemned to repeat it. Pastor Michelle Thomas, Keisha King, and Dr. Gianni Clarkson, thank you all so much for this conversation. This won't be the last. We'll continue to look at it. That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, January 25th, 2023. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.